science, learning, business, community. You. Welcome to Think Works, the podcast for people who like to think. Because thinking is the hardest work there is. Come with us on a journey into the world of ideas with your host, Darren Smithson.
Hello and welcome to another episode of ThinkWorks, the place where we like to do all the heavy lifting when it comes to thinking. And with the impending release of my book, You 2.0, Build Yourself Better, I thought this week we'd take a look at one of the 13 principles of success that are in there. Now, You 2.0, I always stress this, it's initially about how you can become a better leader, a better manager, and a better person. And a lot of it applies to business or projects or your work life, but also they can be applied greatly in your personal life, because after all, if you have to lead others and become a better manager, a better leader, it's first very important that you learn how to manage and lead yourself. Now, within that, we have these 13 principles, and principle 8 is called the Einstein principle, and the subtitle is The Art of Developing ESP is Within Reach. So let me explain what I mean by that. So many people think that Einstein was just a simple scientist. I don't think the word simple could ever be applied to Einstein, but you know what I mean. But actually, he was a great philosopher as well, and he had lots of important contributions to the world around him, and his writings were not just scientific, but they could also be political. They could be analysing the world around them, so socioeconomic politics. And he also had these great musings and lines that could be used as a way of thinking. And I took some of those and called them Einstein's sub-principles, ESP. So you see, it all hangs together in the end. And we've got a few of those, which I'm going to go through from the chapter in the book. I won't read them verbatim, and there are more examples, as I say, inside the book itself. But let's have a look, see what the Einstein sub-principles, the key ones, actually are. So ESP 1 is the search for truth is more precious than its possession. This, of course, links back to the idea that you should never stop learning and you should never stop asking questions so that you can continue to learn by getting those answers. It's Stephen Covey's sharpening the saw principle and underpins many of the concepts and principles to be found within my teachings and my book as well. For example, the Maverick principle, the round table principle, the chameleon principle, all these have at the core this idea that you must continue to grow, you must continue to learn, and then apply what you are learning, obviously, as you're going along. So the journey or the search, therefore, becomes the thing, and the destination is the icing on the cake. But if too many people focus on the end destination and not really either enjoying the journey because they're not noticing what progress they're making or what's around them while they are doing aim towards that end goal. And you're not giving yourself wins. You're not giving yourself treats for having those little wins. And therefore, the journey is all important. In a business and service world kind of context, of course, this can relate to that drive to tick boxes rather than to create sustainable programs. Everyone focuses on the can I tick the box this week, instead of, is it sustainable? What have you actually achieved while you've been aiming to tick that box? And so it's about creating, I guess, more of a reward system for yourself, your family members, your work colleagues, the people in your project, your community members. It's about rewarding them as you're going along. So I have a reward system based on contribution rather than that simple bottom line, tick that box. And by doing that, you create much more of a connection within your organization, your team, your family, your business, than simply just by saying, have you hit that target this week? You get people invested because they can see that their work towards a goal is also being appreciated and rewarded. ESP2 is imagination is more important than knowledge, and I love this one. When I do my Fire Horizons talks, I always end with a clip from Star Trek with that fanfare that begins, and a starship turning away from a planet orbit, and as the fanfare really gets to that crescendo, going into warp, and the words imagination is more important than knowledge by Albert Einstein appears below the clip. Now, in many respects, this ESP has no real direct application, but it's a powerful belief to install within your psyche. It can therefore influence everything you do. If you are always starting from the idea that there is no such thing as a stupid question, and end with the concept of understanding that thinking outside the box is not as effective as realizing that there is no box to begin with, it just means that you are able to approach problems and also move towards targets that you've set yourself or have been set. It just makes that a much more, your mind is open to possibilities much more. So you can actually look at things and create new ways of dealing with them, and also coming up with new ways to get around or under or through certain roadblocks that you may encounter in any project, in any aspect of your life, and really sort of ask the right kind of questions. Because seriously, folks, there is no such thing as a stupid question. Even if your brain comes up with an answer that just goes, like, for example, if you ask yourself, why can't I do this? That's not a great question. But if your brain comes back and says it's because you're stupid, you actually stop and you recognize the fact that you've just asked a question that isn't really moving you forward. So you focus on asking a question that does. You imagine what it would be like to actually be able to do this particular job or this particular piece of work. And you then your brain will help you search for the question to ask to get the right kind of answer. ESP3, no amount of experimentation can prove me right, but a single experiment can prove me wrong. Now, in science, nothing is ever 100% true. Think about that axiom. True science merely posits a theorem that should be successfully tested and validated by other independent scientists, which then raises that theorem up to a theory. Further tests then validate the theory still further. And even then, however, it doesn't become an automatic truth. It remains a theory, in effect, until the next set of tests can be devised to see if it still meets with observable predictions. One experiment that shows unpredicted observations, which are usually the opposite of what is expected, can destroy the theory overnight. Now, this relates to the idea of leadership. A leader is often only ever as good as his or her last successful decision. But the truth is, even the best business minds get it wrong. So Virgin Corp, for example, Zapmail, never heard of it, that's why. IBM PS1. These were wrong decisions from very successful people and organizations. But the trick is not falling into the trap of defining that a wrong decision is a bad decision. In effect, this ESP could be said to be a combination of flexing the decision-making muscle and also being a chameleon and adapting to your surroundings. A leader is someone who, after listening to advice for a limited amount of time, makes a decision and takes action. Successful leaders will also realize that deciding on a course of action is not the same as never adapting the approach. You constantly monitor the direction that your decision is taking you into, and if it looks like it's not actually going to achieve what you want to do, the approach, not the decision, you change your approach. You've still decided what you're going to go for, but you don't necessarily need to hang it on to one particular vehicle to get there. Does that make sense? So you must do the same here. Make your decisions quickly, but allow the methods of achieving the outcomes to vary, and that's across business, family, personal, community, jobs, projects. It doesn't matter. It's the same principle applies to all those areas of your life. ESP 4. Most people say that it is intellect that makes a great scientist. They are wrong. It is character. So apart from having the brain the size of a planet, Einstein was a man of constant inquisition, determination, and almost childlike playfulness. It's these traits that turn him around from being a student of average achievement into the man that changed forever, really, our understanding of the universe and the forces at play within it. And it's the same in any context, really, when you see, or, you know, I've seen managers do it. They have all these qualifications, and on paper they look like they should be the best leader, the best manager, the best developer, the best father, the best mother. They have all these qualifications, but a piece of paper doesn't actually mean anything in the real world. And I have seen some terrible managers that have had some of the best accolades and qualifications that you can get, but they simply don't know how to manage. And they certainly don't know how to lead. They simply don't have the patience, the empathy, or the humour to manage people effectively, or the imagination and vision to be a leader. So whilst you're getting your business qualifications, do so without sacrificing your social and thinking skills. If you're lacking in some of these areas, then go outside your comfort zone and learn how to gain them. Your character is what will make you a great manager. It is character that will make you a great leader. And that is not just in a business context. It's in any kind of context that you want to mention. Family, projects, community, it doesn't matter. If you haven't got character, or you haven't learned to develop a resilient, imaginative, empathetic character, you're never really going to instill confidence within the people that you're trying to manage or lead. ESP 5. It's not that I'm so smart, it's just that I stay with problems longer. He was an amazingly humble man, Einstein. And this typical self-effacing statement reveals much of the secret of his success. He simply refused to give up. Einstein took the approach of an outstanding man who wanted to achieve outstanding things. So I guess what I'm saying is, ask yourself, when you've had almost everything in the palm of your hands, but at the last moment failed to make that extra little tiptoe effort, for whatever reason, you've seen the treasure fall out of sight. I bet you there are several instances where that's happened. I know I'm guilty of it. I've pushed and pushed and pushed. I've got good results, but to get outstanding results, I just need to push that one little bit more. And then for whatever reason, I didn't do it. And I got good results, or I saw the really big results that I wanted, or the treasure at the end of the journey slip away. I'm guilty of it. Most of us are guilty of it. It's just about sticking at it that little bit longer and really just pushing that little bit harder. ESP 6. You have to learn the rules of the game, and then you have to play better than anyone else. So if you want to become a success, you have to first get into the game. That's step one. And to do that, you have to understand what the rules are. Once you've got that locked down, you have to practice and compete consistently and constantly, i.e. sharpening the saw. And if necessary, push for a change in the rules. One of my downfalls is that I have a constant inability to play the politics game. Time and again, I would hit barriers that are erected by those who felt threatened by new ideas or my ability to cut through the ball and get the job done. But whilst I was busy putting all my time and energy in coming up with a solution, in developing the processes, in looking at ways that we could make things better, I didn't put the time in to make sure I read the small print about what the other players might be doing in the meantime. And in the end, I've come to a conclusion that whilst I have now developed stronger diplomatic skills, sometimes I choose not to employ them, however, I just cannot be a political animal. I decided to change the rules of the game, therefore, I set up my own business. So do you see where this comes in, this whole idea of learning the rules of the game and playing better than anyone else? Now, that above statement is my view and my character. And I'm not saying that it's right for you. It's right for me. You must choose a game that is right for you and then play it full out. ESP 7. Anyone who has never made a mistake has never tried anything new. As I've already admitted throughout the book, I've made and continue to make mistakes ranging from minor inconveniences to absolute all my Lord, pass me a gun now. But I never stop trying because I have a very simple philosophy. I never fail so long as I learn something new. Even, as I have said before, if that something new, it's I won't ever do that again. And this is the problem with business today in particular. We're so hung up on the management structure that punishes people when they get things wrong that no one does anything. This is why our productivity levels in the UK are so poor, because people are afraid to make decisions or to do things because they're frightened that they, if they get it wrong, they're going to get punished. Now, I have always told people that have worked for me, make 10 decisions. Just make 10 decisions, take 10 actions. If you get two or three wrong and recognize that you've got them wrong and we can deal with it, you've still made 7 right that move us forward. And even the ones that are wrong have moved us forward in a way because we've learned a way not to do something. It's really important that you do that. I mean, Thomas Edison, I can't remember the exact number of how many times he tried. I think it was something like 2,700 times before he succeeded. On attempt 999 or thereabouts, he did succeed in blowing up his office, and he singed the eyebrows off the biographer that was in his laboratory at the time. And the guy, the biographer just said, worst of the fact of, you're crazy, you're never going to succeed with this, you've just failed for the 1,000th time, you're never going to make this work. And Edison replied, I didn't fail, I learned 999 ways of how not to create an electric light. And on this occasion, I even came up with an explosive that might interest the army. Interesting point of view, don't you think? ESP 8. To stimulate creativity, one must develop childlike inclination for play and the childlike desire for recognition. So one of the main compliments that I receive, as well as actually on the flip side of some of the most vehement criticism, is that I am so young in my approach to life and work. I infuse a childlike enjoyment about so many things, and I'm told a naive positivity, that whatever I'm trying to do in my business, I want to explore how it works, what happens, what will happen with this, how can I make it better? And I have that kind of energy and excitement more or less all the time, apart from when I'm doing my tax return. And it's just people think it's kind of naive or childish to go into everything with that kind of view. But actually, it's a very simple premise. I would prefer to happily succeed rather than succeed to be happy. There is a distinction, and that is what basically ESP 8 is all about. Enjoy the journey, folks, because you've only got one life. It's not a rehearsal. So if you're constantly focused on your end goal and that's all you're focused on, you're going to get there and think, oh, right, that's that done. Is that all it is? And what is it? If you haven't enjoyed the journey along the way, then you're missing out on a lot of enjoyment in your life. ESP 9, great ideas often receive violent opposition from mediocre minds. So this comes back to this idea that it basically any new idea has to go through 3 stages of development. First, it is met with derision. Then it is confronted with hostility and aggression. And finally, it's accepted as being plainly self-evident. And if you look at the history of new ideas, new technology, the way that people try to do things in a different way from the norm or from the accepted norm, then they all went through those 3 stages. And it's especially true when your great ideas are challenged to that established way of doing things or contrary to the idea of one who sits above you. So the whole idea of that is you just remind yourself that if you have come up with a fantastic idea and you're getting resistance, if you have thought it out properly, if you have looked at the whole ramifications of implementing it and you have a good story about that idea, if they won't act on it, take it somewhere else or develop it yourself for your own business. It's just frustrating that people don't like change, and that includes the people at the top. And in your case, the next time you might be running your own company, or you might be a manager of a team, or you might be head of a division. The next time someone comes to you fresh from college with an idea of how to do something, don't dismiss it out of hand. Look at it with an open mind, because who knows, he or she may have either just saved or earned you a small fortune. And it's important that you understand that that is the case. Now, I guess these ESPs, as I call them, the Einstein sub-principles, all come back to one summary principle, and that is think again, and then think some more. Be imaginative, be playful, be determined, but never stop thinking. And if you are listening to this Think Works podcast, you know that that's the whole idea of why I set this podcast up. It's so that we can ask questions, we can discuss ideas, we can actually develop new ways of thinking, and we can learn how to ask questions that get the kind of answers that we deserve. And that's the whole point. Now, if you go to darreninform.com/thinkworksforum, you'll see that there's a post for this particular episode for you to come and comment on. Share me your favourite Einstein stories. I'm always loving anything about Einstein, some of his favourite sayings that I haven't considered or I've missed. Just come and have a chat with me, and also ask questions about how you could employ some of his musings, some of the ESPs, in a particular situation that you might have. I will gladly try and help you and point you in the right direction. And in the meantime, thanks ever so much for listening, folks. I hope you enjoyed that. As I say, the chapter itself is in much more detail and it has much more of a flow. I just try to take out little tidbits to tease you here and there into buying the book, but also into applying some of the ideas within the book, and that's important. So take care, everyone. You 2.0, Build Yourself Better, is out in the next month. And yes, I finally finished the final edits. So it'll be out next month, and I will be all over social media and my website, and even doing some more of the chapters specifically here on the podcast, giving you a taster, some ideas that you can use certainly, but also pointing you to the chapter where you can actually really start to immerse yourself in a different way of approaching life, the universe, and everything. Take care, everyone. See you soon. And this is me signing out for now.
If you would like to find out more, or join in with the conversation, our forum has a corresponding post for you to comment in. Simply go to darreninform.com/thinkworksforum and join in the fun. Or you can join the Facebook page by searching for at Darren Inform for news, tips and other helpful strategies. The show was hosted by Darren Smithson, and the music is by Alexander Nakarada. You have been listening to Think Works, the podcast for thinkers.